Extra, extra, hear the big town story of the charity killers. Extra, extra, extra.
Miranda?
Yes, Bertha?
Lock him up in the storage room with Larson's body and let's get out of here.
And leave Mr. Wilson alive to identify us in Larson's murder?
They'll have to catch us first.
You're wasting time, Bertha. My press photographer has orders to notify the police. You better get going.
I'll say I'm going.
Oh, no, you're not. Tape up Wilson and splatter the place with kerosene.
Yes, listen to this dramatic big-town story of two strange women racketeers brought to you by Lever Brothers Company, makers of Life Boy Health Soap. A story of fighting editor Steve Wilson of the Illustrated Press, whose newspaper creed stands for freedom and justice against the forces of intolerance and evil.
The power and the freedom of the press is a flaming sword, that it may be a faithful servant of all the people, use it justly, hold it high, guard it well.
Now, Big Town, and tonight's racket expose headlined, The Charity Killers. Each year, the great heart of America gives billions to alleviate the suffering of humanity. But into this golden river of generosity, racketeers dip greedy hands. And such is the background of Steve Wilson's story, which began in the parlor of a pretentious old brownstone mansion in a fashionable section of Big Town.
Bertha, Bertha, hurry with the tea. Mr. Larson is due any moment.
Stop squawking. Save the society act for that crook.
I have to get into my lines, into my charity act, don't I?
Yeah, but don't overdo it. Make the pitch for a fat contribution and then we'll take them, like a couple of Dannemora doves.
Bertha, I do wish you'd drop your prison slang. You've been out long enough this time.
And I'm not going back in. I'm getting too old for the Penn laundries. What's keeping that shop?
He'll be here. I promised him a large contribution to his sweet charity.
The dirty crook.
Save the professional jealousy and pour me a cup of tea.
Ah, pour it yourself.
Very well. Where's the gin?
In the extra cream pitcher, where it always is when you put on this phony whistler's mother act.
Have you fixed the sugar?
Sure. The top lumps are soaked in enough stuff to knock Larson out for a week.
Good. There he is. Go let him in while I get out my knitting.
All right, but don't drop that gun out of your knitting bag like you did in Denver.
Oh, I won't. Oh, dear, I'm afraid I'm going to have to get rid of Bertha like I did my second husband. Now, let's see. Knit one, purl one. No, knit two, purl one.
Just a moment, please.
Good afternoon. I'm Mr. Larson, calling on Mrs. Miranda Adams.
Oh, yes, Mr. Larson. Madam Adams is expecting you. This way, please.
Who is it, Bertha, dear?
Mr. Larson, ma'am.
Oh, yes. How do you do?
Good afternoon. Charmed to meet you, Mrs. Adams.
I hope the pleasure will be all mine. You may go, Bertha.
I'll go tend the furnace, ma'am.
I'll call you if I need you.
Very well, ma'am.
Are you two ladies alone in this big house?
Yes, quite alone. It's so difficult to get help these days, you know.
Yes. And now, about your contribution to the General Community Fund.
Oh, yes. Please sit down. Have a cup of tea?
Tea? Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Thank you.
I hope you brought your list of prominent contributors.
Oh, yes. I have them all right here. This list is quite confidential. Most of our large contributors wish to remain anonymous, sir. Don't want to get on the sucker list. The list of unscrupulous fund collectors.
I understand. And I assure you the list will not leave my hands.
Oh, but I can't leave the list.
Very well. I'll have Bertha make a copy.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You wouldn't care to have me give out your name and the amount of your contribution, would you, Mrs. Adams?
Decidedly not.
No, of course. Now, how large a donation did you have in mind?
Would a thousand...
A thousand?
Oh, dear, your tea is getting cold. How many lumps of sugar?
Oh, no sugar, thank you. I'm putting on weight. I never touch the stuff. Well, 1,000 would be fine. Great help to the many worthy causes.
Oh, I'm sure it would. And a little sugar won't hurt you. It's energy building.
Yes, I know, but no thanks. I'll just take it as is while you make out your check.
No, let me... Dear, I'm sorry. So clumsy of me. Bertha...
Oh, it doesn't matter. Don't bother.
Yes, ma'am. What's the trouble?
Mr. Larson won't take sugar in his tea.
Oh, he won't he?
What's the idea?
Sit down, Mr. Larson.
Hey, what's the idea of that gun, Mrs. Adams? No, put it away. I didn't come here to rob you.
Yes, you did, you dirty crook.
Bertha, don't slight our profession.
This dope is a disgrace to any profession.
Hey, you two are con cookies. This is a plant. A scheme to get half a hold of my sucker list.
Exactly, Mr. Larson. Take that list, Bertha.
No, wait a minute. Listen. Let's make a deal. We can work this charity racket together. Why, we'd make a great team. Milk this town dry.
That's what we're going to do. Without you.
Oh. Here. You dented the teapot, Bertha.
Never mind the teapot. I think I've dented his head. What are we going to do with him?
Drag him down in the cellar. Lock him up in the storage closet. We don't want him disturbing the neighbors while we work on his sucker list.
Wait a minute, Miranda. Maybe he ain't going to disturb nobody.
Why not?
I think I cracked his skull. I think he's dead.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. My first husband went that way.
Your wondrous girl reporter.
Oh, come in, Lorelei, and close the door on those infernal teletypes.
Uh-oh. Now what have I not done which should have been done, as Harry the Hack would be wont to say if he weren't down with a grip.
How would you like to impersonate the confidential secretary of a wealthy philanthropist?
Anything for a story. Who is the philanthropic gent?
Well, I'm going to impersonate him.
What are we going to play, charades?
Yes. I've had a tip, Lorelei. A couple of Larson's ladies have set up a fake charity racket in Big Town, and I want to get the goods on them before they make a mockery of one of man's finest impulses.
I'm all for that, but how?
Well, your suitcase is all packed and ready right there on the table.
The battery recorder. Where am I weekending?
You're just going to call on the ladies.
Well, how do I explain the disguised talk box?
You're on your way out of town and just stopped in to tell the ladies I'm calling to make a fat contribution.
Oh, why don't I just phone?
I'm very eccentric. I have to be humored.
Okay. Where'd you get this tip?
From our friend, Showboat.
Showboat? Shades of Shakespeare. How did he spot these female charity racketeers?
Saw them on the street. They're lively ghosts out of his own colorful past, Lorna.
Good heavens. Not out of trooping days aboard his Mississippi paddle wheel namesake.
Yes, one of the ladies. The other is a more modern version of feminine larceny.
That's a charming combination. Where?
That should be Showboat at the hall door. Let him in.
Or he'll knock the door off the hinges.
Hail and hello, Brother Wilson.
Hello, Showboat, come in.
Thank you. And the Lorelei, lovely lady of the linotype.
Hello, Showboat. I hear we're going on a charity racket safari.
Ah, yes. 'Tis been my good fortune to espy amongst humanity's flock two elderly female wolves in sheep clothing, preparing to pounce upon the innocent lambs in the name of sweet charity.
Yes. I've given Lorelei the setup and the fact, Showboat. She's ready to go.
Aye, but stay a moment, Miss Kilmer. Though these barges be cloaked with lavender and lace, and though they dwell in marble halls, they are as the scorpion whose sting is verily the kiss of death.
Thanks for the warning, Showboat. I'll be careful of them. Where is this marble hall?
A gloomy relic of the 90s, leased as a lair for the unsuspecting. A stage upon which these demon damosels weave their wanton web upon sweet charity's warp of woe.
A perfect setup. What's the address, Showboat?
Park is the street, and the number is 9.
Number 9 Park. What names are they using, Showboat?
My thespian contemporary, the Ophelia to my Hamlet, Lady Macbeth to my immortal Thane, the little Eva to my Uncle Tom. Once went by the name of Memphis Mary. Shot one gambler husband and drowned another in the muddy waters of the Mississippi. Now, silver-haired and mild of mien, she plays her trade in the guise of Madam Miranda Adams.
Golly, Miranda Adams. Who's her present partner?
Judicious inquiry reveals only the name of Bertha, a muscle-bound, matronly alumni of many of our better houses of correction.
Well, that'll be enough to work on, Showboat. How much time are you giving me to get their crooked charity pitch on the tape recorder, Steve?
10 minutes should be enough, Lorelei. Take Dusty and his camera, but have him wait outside until we arrive.
Well, good heavens, Steve. Madam Adams will surely recognize Showboat.
Exactly, Lorelei. And a recording of her reaction should be evidence enough to smash the racket and send the ladies to jail.
Thus, unaware that a vicious, fake charity racket has become a matter of murder, Steve unknowingly sends Lorelei into a deadly situation. and for the exciting developments, we'll return to Big Town in just a moment. Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner.
And the cleaner you get your skin, the surer you are of being fresh and attractive. So remember, Lifebuoy, with its purifying ingredient, gets skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Here's what the doctors proved in 820 scientific tests.
People took daily baths with different soaps. Doctors found that Lifebuoy does more than just remove the grime and perspiration you can see. Lifebuoy's purifying ingredient makes it more effective than any other leading soap against the invisible dirt that brings on B.O.
Lifebuoy's milder, too. Safe for baby's tender skin.
And you'll like the way Lifebuoy, made with costly coconut oil, bursts into quick, flashing white lather, even in hard water.
Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner. Keeps you fresh and attractive. Protects you as no other leading soap can. Bathe with Lifebuoy every day. Get the big new bath size. Buy Lifebuoy right away. Now back to Big Town and tonight's spine-chilling expose of a vicious racket captioned The Charity Killers. Following up a tip on two elderly women working a charity racket, Lorelei Kilburn arrives at their rented mansion, unaware that a murder has been committed.
Bertha, for heaven's sake, what a time to be out of kerosene.
How was I to know that crooked dope would be so stubborn and have a paper skull and we'd have to get rid of the body?
Are you quite sure he's dead?
Dead as a doornail.
Are you sure he'll fit into the furnace?
Yeah, I measured the door.
Then go down to the store and get a can of kerosene.
All right. This gallon can should do.
Oh, dear, I do hope he doesn't overheat the house.
Miranda, somebody's ringing the front doorbell.
My stars, whom could it be?
Maybe one of Larson's charity racket pals come to find out what happened to him. What'll we do?
I'll go see. And if it is, simply say he never arrived.
What if they've been watching the house and no different?
Then I'll invite them in with this gun.
All right, go ahead. I'll wait down here in the cellar with Larson's body.
No need to do that. He won't go away. Go get the kerosene and hurry back.
Okay. I'll go out the cellar exit. Don't make any mistakes.
I won't. Maybe you better get another gallon of kerosene, just in case.
All right, all right. Get upstairs and answer that bell.
Come into my parlor, my dear Miss Kilburn.
Thank you, Mrs. Adams. Mind if I put my weekend bag right here?
Not at all, my dear. And it's so kind of you to delay your vacation trip to prepare me for the arrival of your wonderfully philanthropic Mr. Wilson.
Yes, you may think it's strange you're sending me ahead to get the facts about your charities, but my employer is quite eccentric.
I understand. And of course you want to know how the money is being spent, how many worthy causes are being helped, and the other prominent contributors in Big Town.
Yes, that would interest and impress Mr. Wilson.
Of course. Here is a partial list of our contributors and sponsors.
My, that's quite an impressive list.
What's the matter, Miss Kilburn?
Nothing.
Well, but it must be. You're white as a ghost.
Oh, it's really nothing. I suddenly felt a little faint. It's rather warm in here.
Nonsense. The thermostat is set at 68 degrees.
Then it must be something I ate. I'm sorry. I'm afraid I'd better go.
No, my dear. It's something else. Something that has startled and upset you. Something you saw on the carpet.
Yes, Mrs. Adams. What happened here?
Whatever do you mean, my dear?
Who was hurt? Left that fresh stain on your carpet.
Oh, that.
Yes, that.
Oh, that isn't what you think. I had a most frightfully clumsy housekeeper. She spilled some catsup.
Catsup? For tea?
Yes, I just sent her out to get some cleaning fluid when you called. That's why I answered the door myself.
I see. And you're alone in the house?
Yes. And what do you see, Miss Kilburn? Just who are you, and why are you here?
Well, I came to ask you a few questions about your charity fundraising activities, but...
But now you are no longer interested in sweet charity. Why not, my dear?
I have a feeling something much more important has happened here.
And I have a feeling you're not what you pretend to be. Give me your handbag, Miss Kilburn.
Uh-oh. That's a rather large gun for such a charitable little lady, Mrs. Adams.
Don't get up. Just give me your handbag.
I'll save you the trouble of looking. I'm a newspaper reporter.
A reporter? Oh, dear.
Yes, I'm investigating a tip on your charity racket.
All alone? In the hope of getting a scoop for your newspaper, no doubt?
Not quite. Now, you better put away that gun or you'll be facing something much more serious than grand larceny, Mrs. Adams. If you aren't already.
My stars, you are curious, aren't you, Miss Kilburn?
It's a reporter's stock in trade.
Yes. Too bad.
How so?
Oh, dear me. I'm dreadfully afraid I'm going to have to take you down in the cellar and satisfy your feminine curiosity once and for all.
Is this the place, Showboat?
Aye, Mr. Wilson. Yon musty mausoleum is the lair of these lady leeches. Not that I myself am a model of civic virtue, nor above a little modest chicanery in pursuit of the almighty dollar.
Well, your tips have been very valuable, Showboat. Let's go in and see how this one pans out.
Hey, Steve, Showboat, just a minute.
Yes, what is it, Dusty?
Well, I don't know exactly, but something is from Denmark around here.
What, is Laura Lyons on?
Yep. A little old lady let her in about 10 minutes ago.
What's worrying you, Dusty?
Well, just about the time the little old lady let Miss Kilburn in the front entrance, a buxom battle axe slid out the cellar exit, and she was carrying an empty can that she might fill with kerosene. She ought to be back any time now.
Well, in that case, I think we'd better change our plan of action, Showboat.
How so, Mr. Wilson?
You better wait here with Dusty, out of sight. I'll go in first, play my part, and then call you in for the showdown.
As you wish, Mr. Wilson. A climactic third act entrance is meat enough to test my thespian talents. Go set the stage. Prepare the downfall of these demons of deception.
I'll do my best. Meanwhile, keep out of sight in Dusty's car until I call you, Showboat.
Very well. I go to the wings to await my cue.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. I wish to see the lady of the house, Madam Adams.
I am Madam Adams, sir.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Mrs. Adams.
Not at all. Ordinarily, I do not answer the door myself, but my housekeeper has gone to the store for some supplies.
I quite understand.
And what can I do for you, sir?
Well, I'm Stephen Wilson. Hasn't my confidential secretary arrived to acquaint you with the fact that I wish to make a sizable donation to the many worthwhile charities I understand you're sponsoring?
Why, no, Mr. Wilson. No one has called all afternoon.
No one called on you?
No, no one. Perhaps she was delayed and will arrive later. But no matter, for I think these things are much better discussed between the principals. Don't you think?
Yes, in this case, I think I do.
Then please come in, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you very much.
Forgive me for locking the door, Mr. Wilson. I have many valuables, and I understand the police are most lax in this neighborhood. And there are sneak thieves and footpads about.
So I hear.
Makes one nervous. But do come into my parlor. I was about to have tea. Won't you join me?
It will be a pleasure, Madam Adams.
Sit down, Mr. Wilson. You may find it a bit chilly, but my housekeeper will be back in a moment, and we'll have a lovely fire.
That will be nice.
You've no idea how cozy a nice fire will make this gloomy old place.
I can imagine.
Please sit down, Mr. Wilson. You seem restless, preoccupied. Have a cup of tea.
No, thank you. Let's get something else settled first.
Your charitable contribution.
No, where is Miss Kilburn?
Miss Kilburn?
Yes, my so-called confidential secretary.
But I told you she hasn't arrived.
And you lied. Otherwise, you wouldn't have known my confidential secretary was a woman.
Oh, dear, that was a slip of the tongue, wasn't it, Mr. Wilson?
And not the only mistake you made. That weekend bag standing there with the cards belongs to Miss Kilburn.
Oh, dear, I'm getting careless, my old age.
All right, Mrs. Adams. Let's stop playing games. You apparently know who I am, and I know who you are, and what you're doing in Big Town.
Very well, Mr. Wilson of the Press. Like all newspaper persons, you're insatiably curious. And I'm frightfully afraid I'm going to have to gratify your wish to see Miss Kilburn.
Quit stalling. Where is she? What have you done to her?
Merely satisfied her curiosity about a regrettable stain on our landlord's lovely rug there.
Stain? Good grief.
Yes. Unfortunately, we had a gentleman caller just before Miss Kilburn arrived.
What happened?
He refused to allow us to muscle in on his charity racket. And Bertha, my impulsive housekeeper, was compelled to knock him cold and overdid it slightly.
Killed him?
Oh, yes. He's quite dead.
Where is Miss Kilburn?
Keeping company with Mr. Larson's body.
Are you fiendish, Holmes?
Just a moment, Mr. Wilson. Sticks and stones will break your bones, and this gun will kill you quite as dead as Mr. Larson.
Yes, that's a rather large gun for such a sweet, gentle little old lady.
Yes, so your Miss Kilburn said in those very words.
What have you done to her?
Just taped her up until Bertha gets back.
Where is she?
Down in the cellar. Go on, Mr. Wilson. Walk out into the hall and down the stairs. It's quite chilly up here. It'll be much warmer down with the furnace.
Thus, in a swift turning of the table, Steve and Lorelei are caught in a strange and deadly situation. And for the exciting payoff, we'll return in a moment. Life Boy gets skin cleaner.
Life Boy gets skin cleaner.
Life Boy, with its purifying ingredient, gets skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Doctors have proved it.
People took daily baths with different soaps. Doctors compared results. They found that Life Boy, with its quick, rich, purifying lather, cleanses and protects better than any other leading soap. And Life Boy is milder, too.
So bathe with mild, refreshing Life Boy every day. Remember, Life Boy gets skin cleaner, stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Buy Life Boy right away. Now, back to Big Town and to Steve Wilson and Lorelei, trapped in the basement of an old mansion in the deadly cover-up of the charity killers.
Keep away from Miss Kilburn, Mr. Wilson. I know how to use this gun.
So I understand from an old associate of your Mississippi showboat days.
My stars, that was 40 years ago. Who could it be?
An actor. And like your first husband, a gambler on the river. Showboat.
Showboat. That scene stealer. I would have thought some woman shot him years ago.
Unfortunately for you, he's right here in Big Town. It tipped me off to your fake charity racket.
What are you listening for? Expecting, Mr. Wilson?
The return of your stupid companion who involved you in murder?
I've been involved in murder before.
But of your own volition. Not because of the blundering of a stupid associate.
Oh, yes, quite so. Bertha is rather stupid.
Who's stupid, you cackling old crow?
Crow, am I?
Yes. And who's this man and that girl laying over there, taped up like a mummy?
Newspaper persons.
What are they doing here?
Investigating your charity racket.
Oh, Miranda, you old fool. Why did you bring them down here and let them see Larson's body?
There was no help for it. And stop calling me a fool. I am old, but you're the fool. Put on that kerosene and tape up Mr. Wilson.
Stop giving orders. There isn't time. We got to get out of here.
Nonsense. We've spent months lining up suckers. Checks are pouring in every day, and with Larson's list, we can make a real killing.
Don't be a complete dope. Those two didn't come along. There's a car out front, and the driver and somebody in it are watching this house like hawks.
Why didn't you say so right away?
You didn't give me a chance, but I'm telling you now. Let's lock them up in the storage room with Larson's body and get out of here.
And leave them alive to identify and testify against us in Larson's murder?
They'll have to catch us first.
You're wasting time, Bertha. Those men out there in the car have orders to notify the police, and you'd better get going.
I'll say I'm going.
Oh, no, you're not, Bertha. Tape up Wilson and splatter the place with kerosene.
I'm not wasting any more...
That'll be all out of that gun, Madam Adams. Oh, hold still. I hate to manhandle a woman, even a murderess. Now, hold still. Stop struggling.
Oh, dear. Very well. Unhand me, sir.
As soon as I make sure you haven't another gun in this knitting bag.
Hey, Steve, what cooks? What goes on here? What gives?
Just Dusty, just get the tape on Miss Kilburn. And then shoot a few pictures for the front page.
Right. Okay, now hold everything, Lorelei. I'll have you undone in a jiffy.
Forsooth, what transpires in this dungeon of dark deeds?
Well, if it isn't Showboat, the greatest voice in Saldini.
Ah, the Memphis Belle, Milady of the Hemlock, the Dagger, and the One-Night Stand.
Shut up, you windy old walrus.
Ah, time hath touched thy hair with silver, but tip thy tongue with acid, Miranda.
Oh, be quiet, Showboat. You haven't changed a bit.
Yes, hold the reminiscences, Showboat. Are you all right, Lorelei?
Oh, a little bruised and mortified, but otherwise okay, Steve.
Good. Go upstairs and call Fletch on City Desk. Give him the story. And call Callahan of Homicide.
Now, before bringing you the final payoff in tonight's story and the headline news about next week's big town adventure, here are Steve Wilson and Lorelei.
Friends, hurry, hurry. Lever's sensational $50,000 travel contest closes this week. Would you like to explore Paris and London? See Cairo? Visit Honolulu and other famous foreign cities? Well, this contest is your chance to win the vacation of a lifetime.
Just imagine, friends, you can win a round-the-world trip for two with all travel expenses paid. Or choose $10,000 in cash.
Yes, and there are second prizes, too. 15 of them, with an all-expense trip to Europe for each winner, or $2,500 in cash, plus 400 other prizes of $10 each. Just finish this statement in 25 words or less. I like Bath-Size Lifebuoy because... Send each entry with a box front from Bath-Size Lifebuoy to Lever Tour the World Contest, Box 1, New York 8, New York. That's Box 1, New York 8, New York. But hurry, entries must be postmarked no later than this Saturday. Only residents of continental United States, Alaska, and Hawaii are eligible. Get a free entry blank with complete rules at your store right away. In tonight's big town expose of the fake charity racketeers, the murderess Miranda was tried, convicted, and imprisoned for the rest of her unnatural life. And next week, the makers of Lifebuoy bring you a hard-hitting story entitled The Fatal Joke, the strange story of a gangster's revenge after death. Another exciting assignment in the newspaper career of fighting Steve Wilson of Big Town. Don't miss it. In tonight's dramatization, all names, times, and places are fictional. Big Town features Edward Pauly as Steve Wilson, Fran Carlin as Lorelei Kilburn, and was written and produced by Jerry McGill. This is Brotherhood Week. At a time when it is vitally important that all Americans stand united, let us recall the American principles of tolerance and understanding toward one another, and let us practice those principles throughout the year. Next Tuesday night, same time, same station, you'll hear the newsboy calling...
Extra! Draw hero, love it. The story of Steve Wilson and a fateful joke. Brought to you by the makers of Lifebuoy Health Soap. Extra, extra.
Lever Brothers Company have amazing news. New 1950 Rinso with sodium. It's here a year ahead of time. New 1950 Rinso has three times the whiter washing action of any other soap. The sensational new washing action of 1950 Rinso gets white clothes whiter than new, washable colors brighter than new, and keeps them whiter, brighter than any other soap. Rinso is so safe for clothes, so kind to hands. Get new 1950 Rinso at your dealers now.
Be sure and be with us again next Tuesday at the same time when Lever Brothers Company will again present Big Town. This is your narrator, Dwight Wiest, bidding you good night.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.